Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. I'm Dave Malarkey, and nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. And we're not out of the woods with the sprinkles and the light rain yet. I know it hasn't rained a whole lot here in Butler over the past few hours, but keep the umbrella handy and keep it handy tomorrow, too. One of those stretches of weather. We have a good show today. We're going to get an update on the Butler Transit Authority here in just a moment or so, and then later on the program today, we have more candidate interviews. Last week, we interviewed a candidate running for Butler School Board. We have three more Butler School Board candidates who'll be visiting with us briefly later today. But first of all, we say hello to John Paul. John is the Executive Director of the Butler Transit Authority. Been a while since we had you on the program. John, good to see you.
Great to see you too, Dave.
There's been a lot of new developments in recent months in the Butler Transit Authority. First of all, we've got the new buses that look a little bit different because most of them now run on compressed natural gas instead of diesel fuel.
Yes, and so the fueling tanks are on the top of the bus, so the buses look a little bit taller. Plus, for the first time, we now have what's considered low-floor buses, so there's no lifts. And so the buses just have flop-out gates so that people who have accessibility devices that they need to use to get around town can easily access the vehicle. And even people with walkers and canes, they can, that flops down and then they're not climbing steps. And those steps were pretty steep in the old buses.
Do the front end of the buses still lower to pick passengers up?
They still kneel. Yes, they do. Again, though, with these flop-out gates, they're a little bit easier for people to access when they need it.
Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me about the different profile of the buses, because it's noticeable that they're higher. You know, the roof line is higher. And I said, to be honest with you, I don't know. But that's where the fuel is. I didn't realize that.
Yes, and that's where the fuel tanks are. Because of the low floor, and they're with the devices, there's no room, obviously, under the bus to have fuel tanks. So that's part of the necessity to put it on the roof.
First time I ever saw those was up at Penn State University Park. They've, a couple of years ago, went to all compressed natural gas buses up there, and I've taken a couple of those shuttles, and it gave me pause the first time one pulled up because it looked different from any other bus I'd ever seen. But that's apparently the regular design of these compressed natural gas buses.
Yeah, no matter what the manufacturer, for the local service. Now, our commuter buses, because they're coach buses, long travel buses, and we don't have people with luggage, they're actually in the luggage compartment, the fueling tanks.
Okay.
So they're not on top, because if they were on top, obviously there'd be an issue with height, with bridges and stuff. Mm-hmm. So those coach buses, the fueling's underneath.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, the commuter service to Pittsburgh. There's a new promotion that's going to run this summer and into the fall. Tell us about that, John Paul.
Well, we're looking to hopefully, get some people that haven't ridden a bus, that if you know somebody that works in downtown Pittsburgh or wants to go to downtown Pittsburgh or down in the area for the day, we have four runs in the morning that leave and four runs in the afternoon that return. And then there's also one in the afternoon that goes down and one in the morning that returns for people that are down there overnight or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the special what we're doing is we're actually giving rides for free. And this week, starting actually today through Friday, you can get on one of the coach buses. Now, this is just a commuter service, and go to Pittsburgh and come back for free. And the idea is that if you try it, well, hopefully you'll like it.
Yeah.
There's obviously, you don't have to worry about the traffic. It's a safe trip. You know, you can read, you can sleep if you want, you can, you know, use your computer. We have free Wi-Fi. You can do any number of things other than worrying about traffic in your own vehicle. Plus, with the rising cost of gas, we think it's a great opportunity for people to maybe try this. If the schedule meets your, you know, commuting needs and you work in downtown Pittsburgh, we need the people to support this. Otherwise, it could go away. And obviously, I mean, if you can't use it, you can't use it. But if you can use it, to think about it, it's environmentally friendly. It's a CNG gas. Your fuel costs, for less than basically just a little bit over a gallon of gas, you can get down in the morning and get back in the afternoon. And obviously, the parking costs in downtown Pittsburgh continue to climb. So it's an opportunity for people to save money, save wear and tear on their car, and have a relaxing trip in and out of town every day.
So the rides are free this week, and it's going to be that way the third week in upcoming months for a while.
Yeah, in June and July and in August, and we'll see how it's going. So this is May 13th through the 17th, June 17th through the 21st, July 15th through the 19th, and August 12th through the 16th. So the third week of every month. Because the first week, sometimes it's a short week. Fourth week, sometimes it's a short week. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, let's do the third week. And that way people get a full week. The other thing is if you like it and you know, and you sign up, and you can sign up on our web page at butlertransit.com and register, and you decide that you're going to start to commute on our buses and buy a 31-trip pass, we'll give you an additional 15 trips onto your card. And so we have a fare card that you can do, that you can use with, but we also have mobile ticketing that you can use your phone. You can do your smartphone and just do your ticketing on there. And the same thing, if you buy a 31-trip pass on that, we'll credit you, if you register, we'll credit you with an extra 15 trips free. And for the people that are already riding, who are giving, you know, free trips on third weeks of the month, we're if you bring a friend, and you register and bring a friend, and you'll get 5 free trips added to your fare system. So, because people, well, what are you doing for me? You know, I've been here supporting you the whole time.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
We're trying to do a little bit for everybody.
So, I didn't realize that there were so many trips. It's four per day. Is that right?
4 from Pitt downtown Butler. We
in
leave
Pittsburgh. When's the first one leave?
Around 6 a.m.
Okay.
So you can go online. I don't have the schedules with me here today, mm-hmm. but you can go online and all the schedules are there. 2 of the runs go down Route 8, and 2 of the runs go out 68. Now, people that live in that part of the county and want to use the 528 park and ride, we have 2 runs from there, but Newcastle has 5 additional runs from there. So there's actually almost 15-minute service from that location to downtown Pittsburgh every day, Monday through Friday, for commuters to get down into town and to get back to the 528 parking lot.
Are these express runs from Butler to Pittsburgh, or do they stop occasionally?
Well, the Route 8 route is still a flag route. So we have designated stops. You know, obviously, right down here across from the former Kmart is free parking mm-hmm. for people, for commuters. Bakerstown Church, right in Middlesex, that church, you can park there for free. Those are designated stops, and then people flag stop down along the way. And then the last park and ride we don't have anything to do with is Duncan Avenue in Allegheny County, down in that area. But from Butler, we leave from here, from the downtown station, then to the Kmart area, former Kmart area, then out 68. The first stop is Evan City at Edco Park. The next stop is at the 528 park and ride, mm-hmm. and then it expresses into downtown Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So
and that 528 is right at the intersection with 79.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it's pretty quick and pretty good service, and combined with what Newcastle's running and what we're running, it's a great opportunity for commuters that live in that part of the county.
Apart from the ride for free the third week of the month, May, June, July, August, what's the regular fare to go from Butler to Pittsburgh?
Cash fare is $5. If you buy a 15-day pass or 15-trip pass, it's $4 a trip. And if you buy the 31-trip pass, it's like $3 and $0.88 a trip.
Is that one way or round trip?
That's one way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, when you consider, and for folks who haven't parked in Pittsburgh recently, the prices are exorbitant down there to park. Man, oh man.
Yeah, even if you were parking on the other side over at the stadiums, those continue to lot rates continue to go up also.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this takes you off. This drops you off right down by the U.S. Steel Building in downtown Pittsburgh. If you further away than that, you can grab the Steel Plaza T station and get to your place of employment from there, and then pick up is up on the busway, which is down by the old on the other side of the U.S. Steel Building.
We need a culture change here in the United States, don't we, for more people to use mass transit? I haven't been to other parts of the world, but I've been blessed to travel in Europe a lot. Everybody rides buses and trains over there. People wouldn't think of trying to drive through a major city, you know, like London or Paris or anywhere like that. They'd say, what, are you nuts? You know, we'll take the bus or we'll take the subway, take the train.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing, and it's... You know, I don't want to give up the luxury of my own vehicle.
Even if I have to pay through the nose to park it down there.
Yeah, and gas to get it there.
Yeah.
And the, you know, chances of having accidents. But that's why we were doing this promotion. We're hoping that when people, after they actually try it, and there's more leg room, and this doesn't take much anymore. I say more leg room than in an airline anymore. You know, it doesn't take much to do that day, but you do, and the seats recline a little bit, and you have, you know, you can actually spread out, and there's things for, you know, you can use your laptop. There's plugins, USB ports, and, of course, the Wi-Fi. So you could actually do things, or you can bring headphones and just zone everybody out and just mm-hmm. ride till you ride. Until you get there, but
or if you're tired. I've never had a commute that long on a daily basis. I have a couple of friends I know who work in Pittsburgh, and you know, to drive down there and drive back day after day after day, you have to stay concentrated. You have to stay focused. It's easy to drift off while you're driving. You know.
Yeah, and you know, obviously congestion as it goes,
yeah.
And the construction period. You know, and you have to worry about the construction zones, and so you just get on and ride, and somebody else does the driving for you, as the old commercial used to be, I think, for Greyhound.
That's right. Leave the driving to us.
Yes.
Now we don't have time to go into all the details here because you couldn't do that on the radio anyway. But can people? Get a schedule of everything they need to know about the times and so on, like at the terminal or online or something like
we
that?
We have printed schedules at the terminal at 128 West Newcastle Street. We moved recently mm-hmm. from Cunningham, and so we're on West Newcastle, right across the street from the police station. So they can get them there, or you can get them online, print them from online, or just get them online at the Butler Transit. .com or on your phone. You know, you can bring it up on your phone. And just like the local buses, you can track these buses live. So you can see where they are when they're moving. And so you know how long it's going to be before they're going to get to the scheduled stop. And
you can do that on your phone.
And you can do that on your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see the buses travel. You hit the route and whatever. So we have all the different routes, all the times they leave, all the times they're coming back. And everything's online. And we have paper coffees also for people that don't have access to this type of thing. Seniors, you know, just like locally, if you sign up and get a senior pass, and you can get your senior pass if you're 65 with, you know, a record of your driver's license or whatever, birth certificate at 128 West Newcastle Street, we'll give you a photo ID. You can ride to Pittsburgh free on the coach buses too, all the time. Every day, Monday through Friday. You can go down, take the tea, and maybe go over to the casino. I don't know if you like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Or you could just go down and go to the cultural district.
What's it cost to get a senior pass?
It's free.
I can't imagine you could make it any more convenient, John. Really?
Well, we're trying, Dave. But, yeah, and it's the, you know, some people like to go to Pittsburgh, some don't. But if you like to, again, don't have to drive. You can, you know, get your way down there. And get your way around town. Obviously, you'd have to Uber some places or Lyft if you were, you know, going to go somewhere outside of the downtown area. But for the convenience and not have to take your vehicle, that'll more than pay those fees to get around too.
I know there are thousands of people listening to us who have never ridden mass transit anywhere. So, and they're thinking, how do you pay for this? Do you have to buy a ticket in advance? Can you pay when you get on the bus? Do you pay with a credit card, or how do you do it?
We don't pay with credit cards. We do have cash. Now, you can buy, if you have a smartphone, you can buy the phone app tickets with a credit card, and then it'll credit on your phone, and then your trips will come up on your phone. We also have cards, what they're called Connect cards, and they're the same things that are used in Pittsburgh right now. They're a hard card, and that's what we give senior citizens when they get with their picture taken in their senior passes, and then those are good anytime. But they're a card, and you can load either trips and or money or trips on those cards.
So you stick that in a device when you get on the bus? Or?
You just pretty much tap the fare box,
okay,
and then it takes care of it. And we have those. We only have one area right now where you can use that and buy them, and that's at the West Newcastle Street office. And we have a card machine there that you can use. Mm-hmm. Now, once you're in Pittsburgh, you can actually use Port Authority's Connect card machines. Our information and our fare stuff is on their system. So this was the whole idea, to have a regional fare card for the Pittsburgh region. We went in, four other transit authorities went in. Not everybody, Beaver did not go in. But now it's advanced this far in the last couple of years where it's now available, you can do it on your phone. Mm-hmm. And I first saw that in Chicago on a train where my friend lives, and he had it on his phone, and he just, the conductor comes by and he just shows him his phone and, moving on down the rails.
What a world we live in. Huh? Well, I've talked to many people over the years who regret the fact that, back in the days of when we had train service, trolley service from Butler to Pittsburgh, and they said, boy, I wish we had that again. Wouldn't that be great? Well, now we do. It's on a very comfortable bus, and it's very inexpensive.
And very few stops.
Yeah.
So it's, you're almost an express route into downtown Pittsburgh.
And you can do it for free, no matter how old you are. This week, also the third week of June, third week of July, third week of August. And if you're a senior citizen, you can ride it free all the time.
As long as you come and get a senior pass.
Yes. Yeah, get the senior pass. And that's no big deal, right?
No.
Take you a couple of minutes and you're done. You go to the new terminal, I say new, for a few months now, I guess, huh?
Yeah, but since last October we've been there.
How's that working out, by the way? I think it's great. Myself, I think you're in a more convenient location now.
It is good. We have more length to get the, I don't know if you ever noticed on Main Street, we were on Cunningham Street. We'd have our buses, the rear end sometimes, if there was an extra bus in there, sort of protruding out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that, obviously, Cunningham was a lot busier than West Newcastle Street. So I think it's safer for the pedestrians, for the riders. It's also safer for the people in their cars and vehicles for obvious reasons about the accidents and stuff. And we only had a couple at that location. The sun caught somebody one early morning and ran into the back of a bus one time. But fortunately, we never had any pedestrian issues there. But I think from where we are now, it's much, much safer.
And as you mentioned, it's right across Washington Street from the city police station. So that's good for people who are catching a bus, 6 o'clock bus to Pittsburgh, for example.
Yes, yes. So you have that added sense of security with the local, obviously. The
or police. In the fall and winter months, coming home, and it's still dark then, too.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about that now, but yeah. So people have adjusted. I think it was a good move to switch from Cunningham to Newcastle Street.
Yeah, thanks. And it's obviously we hadn't moved in over 20 years, so the facility's a little bit up, more light, better accommodations for the individuals. And we just had our first increase in ridership here that we have locally during April. We're attributing that possibly to the rise in gas prices.
Yeah.
And our commuter service ridership's up a little bit, but we need to double what we currently have.
Hmm. Well, you can try it out. Try it out for free. Yeah. Talking to John Paul. John is the executive director of the Butler Transit Authority. You know, when you look back over the last several years, we've made tremendous strides with the Butler Transit Authority. Think about where we were 5-6 years ago, John.
Thanks. I have a great board of directors, we were able to get some state and federal money and obviously build the facility that we've built down in the Pullman area. We have the BART buses, and we have A&R their services for medical assistance. And so all the transportation in the county is located in one spot. I just run the fixed route and the commuter service. The county and A&R are in charge of the BART and the medical assistance. But we're all at one location, and so the coordination between the two agencies is good. So we've got it converted to the CNG. We've got the CNG fueling station. We got the station built. My last issue is to make it a multimodal facility. And the idea there is that when the medical assistance came over from Armstrong County and we gave up our training room, so we're in preliminary design for a training room and a wait area for the commuters, and then build a park and ride at our location. So right now we have to lease the park and ride spaces, and then we're going to build a 50 spot park and ride at our location. Mm-hmm. So people, you know, will forever be able to have one location, no cost to charge to park, and then with the service then to Pittsburgh.
And there's space to do that there, right?
Yes. Yes. It's already, the plan was everything would be expandable. The storage, the maintenance, the administrative offices and the parking and everything. So we do have, that, but now that they put the CNG plant in, fueling station, it's that was where we were going to be able to go 10,000 more square feet for storage. So we actually don't have much room more to add any storage. We don't need any at this time, but if the authority would grow down the road, we would.
Where exactly within your complex is the compressed natural gas fueling station located?
It's to the north. It's in the far northern part of the piece of property, towards Pullman Park, Dewbrook.
So it'll be down past all the garage doors to where the
It's on that far end, and we did put we put the infrastructure in underground and everything for a public station. You know, I've been working since I got this job. It's my 20th year, Dave. I know it's hard to believe. Mm. I've been in this position for 20 years now. To get the Picklegate intersection corrected so that there would be direct access from 356 basically into the Pullman development area, where the AGH has just put their new cancer center. And down in that area to help that development, and also to help AK Steel's, the truckers that come out of there, they come out underneath that viaduct and out without a light. And so for safety reasons, wanted to get that intersection fixed and also access back into the CDC's development there. At that point, we would then look to put in public CNG fueling. Because mainly it's a trucking issue, would be able to use it. But individuals, too, who wanted to buy CNG vehicles for personal use would be able to then have public access. The closest one now is down in Cranberry, I believe.
It would seem to be a pretty simple thing to get access right off Hanson Avenue there. And, I mean, you know.
Unfortunately, about 20 years ago, right when I was starting, someone decided to say that we don't really need that intersection fixed because it was actually on the transportation improvement plan. Mm. Once you remove something from a transportation improvement plan, unless it's a high priority, it's almost impossible to get it back on. And as I said, I've been working 20 years to get it back on.
There's even almost, there's like a dirt road that goes back in there. The construction vehicles have used where they, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, there's some people that have made a road. You know, it's like, they always say, like, if you were on a college campus or you built some, you should wait and see the first year to see where everybody walks, and then wherever there's mud, just put a sidewalk, because that's the path where everybody takes. Well, they've created their own access on that, and they've tried putting things up, and they just take them down. And
well, that whole roadway needs reworked anyway. It's much of it is concrete, and it's got holes in it and everything else. I drive that every once in a while, and it's like it's been bombed in there.
Well, nothing much has been going on there for quite a while, and obviously that would be part of the fix. But there's a large culvert with a drain pipe that runs under that area. I don't know, when you're looking at those trees, you're only halfway up those trees. Mm. The rest of the trees, it's like an iceberg. There's a big hole there, a large hole that drains into the Conequenessing eventually. So there's some engineering work. It's pretty tight through there. We're looking at it. We have county planning looking at it. We have PennDOT looking at it. I'm still trying. I don't know. I don't have another 20 years though to give to this project.
What about the rest of the bus service, apart from, and because the commuter service to Pittsburgh and back is still pretty new? What about the ride service that's been around through the region for the last many years? Is that doing okay?
Well, we just had our 30th anniversary, yeah, it's doing okay. We're right around 200,000 trips a year. As I said, this month we were up just a little bit over 300 and some trips for the year. From last year, we're down about 3,500 total trips. We probably won't be able to recover that in May and June, because our fiscal year ends June 30. Mm-hmm. But it's good to see an upswing. And it's pretty steady. And seniors ride that system free also. You know, once you have your senior pass, you know, you can Monday through Saturday, you can ride free on the local service. So it's a nice perk for somebody that doesn't want to drive anymore.
Are the CNG buses, is it comparable to drive one of those as compared to one of the old diesel fuel buses? I mean, is there any big difference?
I don't know. I've never driven a bus. When I got hired, they said, you might have to drive a bus. I said, I don't. That's not what I'm getting hired to do.
Well, I've never driven any of those vehicles, electric car or... they do have cars on an experimental basis that are fueled with compressed natural gas. I've never driven one. I've wondered about the acceleration and that sort of thing. You know.
Yeah, the buses accelerate fine. You know, they've worked out that issue. Yeah, there's no problem there. Get up and go. We were initially worried about the large coach buses because of the hills coming out of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Spoke to Cummings, and they had an engine for a truck, and then they worked on the engine for a bus to be able to do that. So that issue's been worked out. Other than that, you just have to make sure that the fuel you're putting into has been properly dried, because moisture in the gas can be detrimental to the vehicles. But I think it's just like driving any other bus, you know, or any other vehicle.
Where does that fuel come from anyway? Are the big trucks that come in there to deliver it, or is there a pipeline? Or where?
Well, fortunately, when I first looked into this, there was a 40 to 60-pound line less than 500 yards from right across the road from us. So we just directly piped it in, and it goes into the conversion to be compressed. And then into the store, there's some storage tanks, and then the fueling is just like a gas. You know, you're filling your gas up at the and now it secures because there's no leakage. But it's technically just like you're fueling a car with diesel or gasoline,
except it's compressed natural gas.
Yeah, and it's, you know, from a cost standpoint, it's about $2 per unit. Which is considered gallon gas equivalent. So versus diesel, which we run over $4 now with the increases, it's $2. Now we also have to pay for the electricity to compress it, mm-hmm. and we have to give back to PennDOT 60 to 65 cents per GGE that we use for future maintenance costs, because they paid for the facility and the maintenance on it for us for the next 16 years, but they are to keep this pot of money. Everybody that went in, there's 20 of us, 20 agencies across the Commonwealth, we could put this money into this fund, so this fund would be there for long-term maintenance of the and upgrades to the facilities in 20 years.
Pretty amazing advancements in mass transit here regionally. Keep us posted, John Paul.
Well, thanks for having me again. Have a great day, and I really hope that if somebody knows somebody that works downtown or wants to go downtown, that they give this a try.
Indeed. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be meeting a number of candidates for a school director in the Butler Area School District on the next segment of It's Your Turn. Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
I'm Attorney Wink Robinson. I respectfully request your vote on May 21st for judge in the Butler County Court of Common Pleas. My name will appear on both the Democratic and Republican ballots. A judge must serve independent from outside influences. I have refused all contributions to my campaign. I have 30 years of legal experience. Butler County citizens are hardworking. I will work hard as your next judge. Experience in the law, respect for others, and fairness all matter. Paid for by William Wink Robinson.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
And he drives it through the middle, base hit. Frazier's going to score, and the Pirates have the lead in the 10th.
Hey, Pirates fans, the Buccos play right here on WISR 680 AM. Pirates baseball is brought to you in part by the Visiting Nurses Association, Thrower Concrete, Cash Dollar and Associates, Cunningham Shaner, Butler Smiles Dental Care, Schneider's 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, and Dr. Steven Henneberger. The big games, the big hits, the big pitches are going to be heard right here all season long on your hometown radio station, WISR 680 AM.
We have candidates over the next few days who are running for a school director in the Butler Area School District to visit with us. We have quite a few candidates, so we have a brief amount of time to have them in and let them introduce themselves and hopefully give our voters a chance to make a more informed decision. Jennifer Cummings is here right now. Jennifer, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you, Dave. It's nice to meet you, too.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a native of Butler. I've been living here my whole life. I was born in Meridian. My father was a teacher in the district, Mr. Logan. He was a teacher for 36 years, and my mother was a school director for 20 years herself. So I have a kind of a background in our school system and public education. I am presently a wife and the mother of two daughters, one 14 and one who is almost 7. So they're both in elementary and middle school. My husband, Barry, is the owner of Cummings Candy and Coffee Shop. So I have an interest in a small business downtown, and I do some work for him, marketing and bookwork sorts of things. But other than that, I'm presently a stay-at-home mom taking care of the kids and the house.
Why did you decide to run for Butler School Board?
Well, I decided to run. I ran in 2015 and was elected, so I'm rerunning because I am enjoying my time on the board.
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at it is, you know, lots of parents will do things for their kids. They might volunteer to be on the PTO or at Girl Scouts or maybe they're coaches, and it's pretty time consuming to do those things. I feel like this role is a way that I can kind of serve my community and also serve my children in a way that kind of suits the skills that I have. I've never done anything athletic, so it's not likely that I would be a coach, but I think I have a good ability to kind of see things at a high level. I often think of it as like seeing the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another skill that I have is being able to like look at both sides of an issue, which can often be problematic because it makes it, you know, harder to make a decision, but I think that it helps you to make a more thoughtful decision if you can kind of take different people's perspectives and see what, you know, why they're coming at the problem the way they are.
Are you cross-filed? Are you running in both the Republican and Democratic primaries?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Which is allowed for school directors.
Yes, and I like it because, you know, people will say things to me, oh, like, you don't have to be political tonight. And I'm like, oh, I forgot this was politics because I don't really look at the school board as political office quite in the same way as other positions. I don't see any partisanship on the board. I couldn't tell you what the other directors, whether they are Republicans mm-hmm. or Democrats. It's really kind of a team effort. People have different bents. They may be more conservative or more, you know, more liberal, but I don't see that partisan politics is an issue with the school directors.
What do you see as issues that school directors in the Butler District may have to face in the coming 4 years? It's a four-year term for
yes,
school
Yes, it's
director.
A four-year term.
What about school security, for example? Are we okay on that, do you think?
Well, you're never 100% okay because you don't know what you're going to face. We certainly have paid good attention to it. Butler was one of the first districts in the area, maybe the only district, who hired retired state police officers to serve as our security. So we feel very well protected with them. In the past year, we have converted their positions to where they are an actual police, they're their own police organization within mm-hmm. our schools. And I know that in Allegheny County and other areas, they kind of look to that as a model. The administrative team is currently also looking at other measures they can use, a more secure entrance at the senior high, more fencing around the buildings to secure the perimeters, maybe closing off some areas that are a little bit at risk. So it's kind of an ongoing thing. You always have to be looking at school security.
What about, and I don't mean to rush through issues here, but
no
because
problem.
Our time is limited, what about full-day kindergarten?
Well,
Butler's going to that, are they not?
Butler went to that this past year. So mm-hmm. this was our first year with full-day kindergarten. And that's a good example of an issue where, you know, myself as a mother, I have my kids at home. I wasn't working when my daughter went to kindergarten. So for me, I kind of didn't want her to go for a full day because I was home with her and I could support her. And, you know, I think there's pros and cons. I think that it was a good decision for this district. Many of the students needed that extra time in the educational environment that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. I know some parents who would have been like me maybe didn't want their kids going off, but then working parents found it very challenging when your kid's only in school half days because you don't have childcare and you're always having to scramble. Mm-hmm. So it's the first year I've heard positive and negative things. I hope that we will keep working on it and then it will end up showing itself to have been a benefit for kids.
Butler Area School District had to undergo pretty controversial consolidation plan within the past several years. Are you satisfied with the realignment where we now have a middle school for, what is it, fifth and sixth graders? Is that who goes to the middle school?
That is what we have. We have.
Because that was new to this district, you know.
That was new to this district, and I think the middle school is very successful on many counts. You hear a lot of positive things about it. I don't think that there's any educational configuration that is best or worst. It's really, are we putting the resources into making whatever configuration we have work? And when the consolidation occurred in 2015, that was the reason that I and several other candidates got involved in the district, began attending meetings. And it wasn't, I didn't feel like I was necessarily against consolidation, but I was against rushing or approaching a problem from just one perspective. So at the time, I felt like we were really focusing on the financial benefit of consolidating, but I wasn't getting answers to questions that I had about what would the educational impact of a consolidation be. You know, were there better or worse school configurations? What about school size? What about classroom size? What about transportation costs? So I don't think we have good measures in place to say whether that consolidation was successful or not successful for the reasons that they did it. But I don't think, I think the middle school has been a good thing. I think our test scores are improved with the kids together in that configuration.
Let me wrap up our brief time together by asking if you see any key issues that school board and Butler has to face in the coming 4 years?
In the past 4 years, to me, I feel like we have made some real, we kind of made some turnarounds. We're starting to bring the district into a more modernized state. There was kind of what I would call a financial slide. We were spending more than our budget was in the red every year. We were spending away our fund balance. Standard & Poor had decreased our rating. And I think we've turned that around for the past. This budget and the prior budget are balanced. We're starting to put money aside for capital expenses. We found lots of places to cut the budget, lots more grant funding. So I think we're doing well in that regard. We've also started with more long-term planning, not just financial long-term planning, but we've put together a good strategic plan for the district. And I think that we've worked hard to increase transparency, increase a focus on customer service focus. So I think that we're turning things around, we're creating a foundation, but we have to keep going in that direction. We have to keep some of these initiatives going. What I'd like to see for Butler is the kind of Butler pride that, you know, that I, when I grew up, that we had in Butler. And there's no reason we can't be proud of our schools and proud of our community and have everyone working together. We need to have a positive atmosphere and a can-do attitude. And I think we're seeing that. I just want to keep it going.
Jennifer Cummings is a candidate for re-election to another term on the Butler Area School Board. Nice to have you here today. Nice to chat for a few minutes.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah.
We'll meet another candidate running for school director in the Butler District right after these words. We'll be right back. In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Goin Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time from trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Goin Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Goin Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Goin Postal Butler.
Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler can answer your questions about cremation. Is it appropriate for your loved ones? Should there be a funeral service? Keep in mind that even with cremation, it is time to celebrate how meaningful and important was the life of your loved one. Is cremation appropriate for your family? How would they feel about it? And what's the cost? Cremation has three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. The Thompson Miller Cremation Program is right here in Butler at our newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. So let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller in Butler. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Meet another candidate seeking re-election on the Butler Area School Board, and that's current school director Susie Hammonds-Bradrick. Nice to have you here today.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Have you been on the school board for one term, four
yes,
years?
First term. I'm rounding nearing the end of my first term.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself for people who don't know you, Susie.
I am a graduate of Butler High School. My mother was a graduate of Butler High School. Her father was a graduate of Butler High School. So I have a lot of I would like to think that they're deep roots into the Butler community. I have two children, and one's 11 and the other one's 9. She's going to be 10. And let's see.
What do you see as the major issues that the Butler School Board is going to face over the next 3 or 4 years?
Well, you know, the sad thing is, you know, we're not growing as a community with, you know, a lot of businesses. being attracted. I mean, we used to have some really strongholds with, you know, dating back to Pullman, but then also the Armco, when Armco was our mainstay. Butler used to be able to pretty much write its own ticket.
School districts, many of them across the state, are losing population. Butler's not alone.
Oh, no, we're definitely not alone.
Well, for one reason, families are having less kids these days than they used to. That's a big factor.
That is, but I don't think it so much contributes to Butler's reasoning. I think we've lost population. It's not because people are changing jobs to another area. I mean, I mean, from my experience, we've had people that they didn't change their jobs. They changed the location of where they're sending their kids to school, and they've moved out of the Butler Area School District. And I feel that's part of why I'm here, and that's why what I'm motivated, because I'm invested in this community. I'm raising my children in this community. I want my children to have the same experience I did growing up, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And it's very important to me to want people to come because of our schools. So that's, whether or not we have a new business coming into town or not, I want whoever is moving to Butler for whatever reason, be it the taxes in Butler County, or taxes are lower than Allegheny County, so it brings people across our borders. Mm-hmm. But I want to bring them further in, and I strongly feel that strong schools have the ability to do that.
Any thoughts on the consolidation that was undertaken in the Butler Area School District? And that goes back now about, I guess it is about 4 years,
almost,
isn't it?
4 years, yeah, yes. Yeah. I am. Well, that's part of the reason why I am on the school board now, is I was part of a contingency of people that didn't like how that was going down, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem with the consolidation was the speed in which they wanted to roll it out. I had done a lot of research. Other districts, you did not take out, did not bite off as much as we were trying to bite off in the time frame that we did it. In retrospect, I can't say that something didn't need to be done, but part of the focus was really on buildings. And having said that, one thing that upset me very much, even at the time, was they looked at all the buildings, but they left the middle school out, which is now the middle school, which was the junior high, which was the senior high, which is actually our oldest building in our district. So I thought they left out a very big key piece of information when they're presenting this this consolidation plan to us, because nowhere in any of the plans did they consider closing what is now the junior or middle school.
Do you think it should be closed?
That's for, that's not for me to decide. Actually, I believe that has a lot to do with community input, just like I would have preferred a lot of the community input that was when I ran, what brought me to run. I didn't feel like we were being heard, and I think we really need to take consideration community input. And one of those we have to take in consideration is how much money it's going to take to fix up the middle school. I mean, right now the numbers are about at $20 million. We weren't told 4 years ago that it would cost $20 million eventually to fix up the junior high, just to make it safe, warm, and dry. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important that we keep an eye on our finances and understand, well, what can we afford and what can't we afford? So in that aspect, I'm not saying, oh, I think it should be shut down, but the $20 million price tag is much greater than any other building repair.
Are you satisfied with the way, I think it's fifth and sixth graders that go to middle school now in Butler, mm-hmm. right? Is that the, are
yeah.
you satisfied with that split? Because those kids used to go to the different elementary schools before the consolidation.
It was K through six, and now it's K through four, mm-hmm. five, six.
If you close the current building, the middle school building, they would have to go somewhere else, right?
They would. I don't know how that would look. We actually have a couple. We had many community meetings and threw out a bunch of different scenarios, and a lot of people got to have input on that. Our teachers, our communities, and so then our superintendent has taken that information and basically compiled like the top three, mm-hmm. As a result of all those meetings, and now he's going to present that pretty soon. I think he's going to present it to us in such a way that we understand how much each option is going to cost. So I'm not going to predetermine what that is because I haven't heard the options yet. I don't know what came out on top, but once I do, I am definitely going to hear people out. Because that's kind of how I consider my importance. Let me rephrase that. I consider being on the board, that's my job, is to listen to people. Because I'm not an educational expert. We hire educational experts to do what they're supposed to be doing.
What do you think the district should do with the empty Broad Street building?
Well, I don't think we should do anything until we know what our future looks like. That's one of our best buildings, so I'd be very hesitant to put it on the market until we know what our future really looks like, mm-hmm. and we can really evaluate what we need, and we really have to have a long-term projection. And I feel like the leadership in place now is really looking to put a plan in place where 20 years out, like, hey, this was set up. We knew this was coming down, and we have a plan for it.
Our time begins to run short here. What about the switch to a full-day kindergarten, which the Butler Area School District just went to this school year? Are you satisfied with that? You think that was a good idea?
I do. And I had, there's a couple teachers in our district that are kindergarten teachers that have been advocating for full day kindergarten for 20 years. I believe our community, if you look at Butler just in individually and what our needs are as a community, I think it's a very beneficial program, and it really, full day kindergarten has proven to set people, our students and our in kindergarten, on a path of success. And that's kind of isn't that the goal?
As our time begins to run out here, is there anything else that you'd like to say to voters in advance of Election Day, which is a week from tomorrow, by the way? It's next Tuesday. By the way, if you joined us midstream here, we're chatting with Susie Hammonds Bradrick, who's a candidate for re-election of the Butler Area School mm-hmm. Board. Anything else you'd like to say?
You know, I want to reiterate, I feel my role is to listen to people. And I feel at this point, having been on the board for 3.5 years, that I have done that, and I've been able to influence some certain outcomes of, you know, what we've done. And that feels good to me because I kind of felt, what if I hadn't been there and I didn't raise that question, what would have happened? But my heart's in the right place. I'm not a property owner in the sense where I have tons of property that I'm just, I don't have an agenda except that I want what's best for our kids. So if that's an agenda, then I love it.
Susie Hammonds Bradrick, candidate for re-election of the Butler Area School Board. Nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Hey, thank you for having me. This was neat. Thank you.
We have one more candidate for school board to chat with on this particular day of It's Your Turn. So we'll take a break and we'll be back and chat with him right after these words.
Gardening season is here, and that means it's time to take a drive through the country to Schnorr's Greenhouse. At Schnorr's Greenhouse, you will find beautiful perennials and annuals to beautify your home for all blooming seasons. Schnorr's Greenhouse is a family-owned business, and they take great pride in providing you with the best flowers, plants, and veggies. Schnorr's Greenhouse is located right off Herman Road, open daily from 9 to 8, Saturday till 5, and Sunday 11 to 5. For 130 years, Schnorr's Greenhouse has been where to grow.
Walmart's grocery pickup and delivery is a definite winner. And if you haven't tried it, here's how it works. Either download the Walmart grocery app or go to grocery.walmart.com. Place your order and select an exact time for pickup or a one-hour window for delivery. Satisfaction guaranteed because the folks in the store are trained to pick the best items, just like if you were picking for yourself. If you're not satisfied, you get your money back. Use the code WOWFRESH for $10 off on $50 or more. It's a great service. Walmart grocery pickup and delivery. It's quick, easy, and convenient.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who have never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, ever floated across the ground on comfort pods or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you. Skechers. Live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
We have one more candidate who's running for re-election to the Butler Area School Board to chat with today. And by the way, later in the week we'll have more. We will talk to everyone who's going to be running. Don't worry about that. Bill Hawley is here right now. Bill, good to see you. Nice to have you back with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You are not only an incumbent, but you've already served two terms on the Butler Area School Board.
Correct. This will be my third term if elected.
Mm-hmm. Well, there will still be some people in the Butler Area School District who maybe don't know you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am the husband of one wife of 36 years now. I have five children that I raised, three boys, two girls, five grandchildren, and a sixth grandchild on the way. I run an organization called Grace Youth and Family Foundation. It's a faith-based nonprofit. We do tons of programs throughout this Tri-County area and beyond.
You founded it, right?
Correct. Founder, CEO, correct. And other than that, I grew up in Allegheny County, raised my kids in Beaver County, and here I am back in Butler County for, the past 20 years.
Well, I've asked all of the candidates who've been with us so far, and this is the second day we've done candidate interviews for Butler Area School Board. I've asked about a few things. One would be, as we look back now on the consolidation plan that the Butler District undertook 3-4 years ago, do you think that's worked out okay? Most folks would realize that because of shrinking enrollment, something had to be done.
Right. Well, when I first came onto the board, I don't know how much people remember 8 years ago, but I'm the one that really pushed for a lot of financial changes. Mm-hmm. I had run a private school here in the district for alternative education for about 9 years, so I was familiar with where the budget was headed. And when I first came onto the board, it was in dire straits, but people didn't want to admit it back then. And so I'm the one that actually first brought up a consolidation. But I actually voted against the consolidation that happened. Again, I don't know how much people remember, but I actually am the one that sued the school district because at that time they refused to do public meetings in the degree that we felt was necessary to get all the information out there, as well as trying to hold on to the school buildings and so forth at that time. So it's worked well simply because our staff and employees and so forth have done everything to make the best of it. But I think we can do much better.
The really new factor, and I've asked other candidates about this, was the creation of a middle school concept, which Butler didn't have before. The younger students, kindergarten through sixth grade, went to an elementary school.
Correct.
But the middle school concept was created where fifth and sixth graders from all over the district now come to one building, the old junior high school. Did you have any reservations about that at the time? Has it worked out okay?
I had no reservations at all. I was a fan of it, in favor of it, because raising my kids in Beaver County and growing up in Allegheny County, the middle school concept was not a new concept by any means. It was new for Butler, mm-hmm. but it provided a lot more opportunity for teachers to be able to team teach and work together, to be able to do some educational things that were needed in the district that we weren't able to do before. So actually, I think that's one of the stars of the consolidation, that we were able to actually bring that concept to Butler Community School District.
Now, however, there are concerns with the building where the middle school is located, the old junior high, or for older folks, the old senior high, right. Referred to as the red brick building around here for many, many years. It's my understanding that that building is in need of significant renovation. We're talking maybe millions here.
It is. It's an old building, but it's a great building. So I think, you know, when we look at what we need to do with that building, I think long-term strategic educational planning is the key phrase that I've used when I first came on the board 8 years ago and pushing again now. The building is, for us, very expensive to try and repair and maintain. But I'm hopeful, though, that the district will be able to, with long-term planning, if we make a transition, be able to make sure that building is going to be utilized for the benefit of the city of Butler.
Mm-hmm. Is the renovation work mandatory? Does it have to be done? I mean, it seems to me that
yes.
they put new windows in that building not all that long ago, and they built an addition on it to house the cafeteria.
Dave, the building is just at an age that there's a lot of things that need to be done of a structural thing. It's not that the building is falling down by any means, mm-hmm, but to mm-hmm. keep it safe, dry, and warm is that phraseology that you hear people use. It's an expensive process. And so the type of repairs that we need is in the tens of millions of dollars. And so for a district that's declining as far as numbers and budgetary constraints, what they are, it's going to be difficult for us to be able to maintain that type of cost.
What about there's one vacant school building in the Butler District? It's Broad Street Elementary. What do you think the district should do about that, Bill Hawley?
I have fought for Broad Street from the beginning. I think Broad Street is a fantastic school financially. That's one of the reasons why I voted against the consolidation. It was the building that we gave up the most money to the Department of Education at the time because of what we could have gotten back in PlanCon money. It was the last one renovated. It's a great building. But for me, it's community central. I think Broad Street is very important to that part of our community. I love the community school concept, so I would love to see Broad Street brought back and made an elementary school again.
So you certainly don't want to see it sold, in other words.
I don't. I would love to, you know, there's multiple plans that we're looking at. I'm a fan of maintaining the middle school concept as far as how we team teach and other, you know, educational aspects of that. But I'd love to see us reconstitute our two elementary schools, including Center Avenue.